रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पते नमः। अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 9 द फॉल ऑफ कैकेयी। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। No one knew better the peerless qualities that adorned Rama, and yet she drank the words of the hunchback with greedy ears. Fire flashed from her eyes at the thought of her proud self reduced to be the bondmaid of Kaushalya. Long and hot she sighed and exclaimed, "This moment will I drive Rama away from the haunts of men and place a crown on the head of Bharata. Mantara, I know that your brain is keen and subtle, and my son must win the throne, and that now. Rama should be eternally shut out from the succession to the throne, and I count upon you to find me a way to accomplish my object." Mantara had set her heart upon the ruin of Rama. Joy unspeakable filled her to find that she had won over Kaikeyi to her views. "Here I have a plan ready to set Bharata on the throne. But I wonder you seek it of me. Have you forgot, or remembering well, do you pretend ignorance? Perhaps you prefer to hear of the welcome news from me. Well, hear it, since you wish it, and having heard, give your best thoughts to it." Kaikeyi precipitously rose from her bed and cried out, "Bharata should get the throne by any means, fair or foul. Rama must never dream of it. Unfold the plan thereto." "It took a place of yore," said Mantara, "then a great war between the gods and the asuras. The gods had the worst of it and prayed your husband Dashrata to assist them. The king marched south with his friends and you with him to the impenetrable forest of Dandaka, where Shambhara, the dolphin-bannered asura, ruled from his city Vaijayanta. A master of illusion was he, invincible of the gods. Time and oft he fought with Indra, and in the darkness of night, his asuras dispatched to hell those of the enemies who lay wounded during the day. Dashrata fought with him long and fiercely, and was sorely wounded by the terrible weapons of the asuras. He lay in a deep swoon and helpless in his chariot when you drove him to another part of the field and sought to bring him back to life and consciousness. But the asuras pursued him even there and pierced him with their remorseless arrows again and yet again. And you took him from their midst to another place of safety. Dashrata could not be enough grateful to you for having rescued him twice from the jaws of death. He exclaimed in a transport of gratitude, "O savior of my life, I grant you two boons. Ask what you will have." You accepted it with joy and replied, "Nay, your gifts are reserved for season due," and he assented thereto. "Now it was you that you told me this. Here's what I know. My love for you has treasured it in the depths of my memory. Make your husband put a stop to the hateful preparations that are afoot towards coronation of Rama. Put him in mind of the two boons you have of him and use them to seat Bharata on the throne of the Kaushalas and exile Rama to the woods for twice 7 years. Why? 14 years are more than enough for Bharata to root himself in the affections of his subjects. Hear me yet, while I direct you how to proceed, O daughter of Ashwapati. Take yourself hence to the chamber of wrath, as if your heart was aflame against Dashrata. Wrap your shapely limbs in coarse robes, mean and soiled. Lie there in dust and dirt. At the moment he steps in, sob as if your heart would break. Raise not your eyes to his face. Speak not to him. And our hopes are to be sure to be crowned with success. I know for a truth that you stand nearest his heart. For you he will jump into the blazing fire. For you he will gladly sacrifice his life, but he dare not say you nay. He dare not rouse your anger. He dare not look at your wrathful face. gauge full well the full force and might of your marvelous beauty. Gold, gems, pearls, and costly trifles he will lay at your feet, but never for a moment turn your eyes to them. Recall to him the two boons he granted you during the dread battle. He is not a man to go back upon his word, and in that lies our hope. Let him clasp you to his breast and cry over and again, I give you the two boons. Even then, rest not until he swears it by an oath that he will not break. And then ask him to exile Rama to the woods for 14 years and to crown Bharata as a ruler of Ayodhya. Rama absent from the kingdom of 14 years, Bharata will grow in power and fame, win over the troops, the people and the treasure to himself and reign long and happily. At least, wring from him a promise to banish Rama and the rest of her plan will naturally succeed. Out of sight, out of mind. The fickle people will very soon learn to forget their idol for the time. He will have none to befriend him. Your son Bharata would have suppressed his enemies and hold uninterrupted sway. By the time Rama returns from the forest, the keen-witted Bharata would have won the hearts of his subjects. Surrounded by his friends and well-wishers, he would stand alone, firm-rooted. Now is the time to accomplish our purpose, or never. Summon thy courage and skill to entrap the uxorious king, and see that the preparations now afoot towards Rama's coronation are converted to the use of Bharata's. Kaikeyi religiously believed that the evil counsels of Mantra were the surest means of good to her, and exclaimed with wild joy, even as a young colt unbroken, Mantra, hunchbacks and naturally keen-witted, but you are far and away the first among them. Strange that I have been blind to your superior excellences till now. Millions call me their queen and vow fidelity and devotion, but you and you alone are the sleepless watcher over my interests. You live but for my happiness. Dasharatha's black heart was till now to me a sealed book. Let be. I have set my eyes upon countless hatchbacks, mean, crooked, and repulsive of appearance. But your fair body is, by a freak of nature, deformed a little. I see not how it can take away anything from your natural beauty. A lovely lotus is none the less charming to the eye if the wayward gust bent it a little. Your chest and shoulders are broad and deep. Your stomach with this tiny whorl of a navel hides itself from sight, out of very shame as it were. Round and firm, and your breasts and thighs. Your face is radiant even as a spotless moon. The little bells from your costly girdle chime most musically. Your knees are strong and well set, while your feet are somewhat unnecessarily long. Your long and shapely thighs shine through the white silk that veils them. Like a she-swan, you walk proudly before me. In that witching hump of yours lie in teeming confusion, wonderful foresight, strange plots, plans and schemes of evil, intricate wiles of a kingly polity and arts of illusion, which even the dread slumberer would give his life to possess. Mantara, here let me hang this gold necklet around your shoulders. Wait till Rama is exiled to the dark forest and my Bharata is placed on the throne. Wait till my purpose is accomplished and the heart is content, and I shall case yon precious hump in beaten gold. The most fragrant sandal paste prepared with the purest gold shall be spread over your arms and breast. A rare and costly jewel set with the brilliance of diverse hue shall hang on your brows. Gaily adorned and richly dressed, you shall move before me like a nymph of the skies. Lovely beyond compare, your face shall shame the radiant moon. You will quell the pride and might of those that wish us ill and bring them to your feet. Countless hunchbacks blazing with gold and gems shall wait upon you in turn. Thus the mistress lauded to the skies Mantra, her bondmaid, who turned to Kaikeyi even as she reclined on the snow-white bed like a blazing fire on the sacrificial altar and exclaimed, Would you raise the dam when the swollen waters have emptied themselves to nothing? Arise and bend yourself to the task before you. Away to the chamber of anger and await the foolish king. The royal dupe swallowed the bait all greedily and repaired to the chamber of wrath and her temptress with her. She was unspeakably proud of her unrivaled beauty. She flung away from her costly necklaces, rare jewels and precious pearls, and like a golden statue, she threw herself on the bare earth with wide eyes of anticipated triumph. Mantra spells lay heavy upon her, and under her influence, she cried, "Go, tell my royal father the happy tidings. Rama is exiled far away to the dreary woods. Our Bharata sits on the Ikshvaku throne. Or, your daughter Kaikeyi journey to the dread halls of Yama, even for the anger chamber. What care I for gold, gems and ornaments? I draw my last breath when I see the hated Rama on the throne." Mantra had not a particle of doubt now that her pupil was dead set on her nefarious purpose. But to make assurance doubly sure, she sent, as it were, a parting shot at Rama, cruel beyond expression and deadly. "If you allow Rama the least chance to get the throne, you condemn yourself and your son to countless years of woe and disgrace. Fair one, stick at nothing to gain your object." Kaikeyi was pierced through and through with the keen, poisoned shafts of the hunchback's malice. She pressed her hands to her heart to calm the tumultuous surprise that arose in it when she thought, "And he had the audacity to do a thing which he knew I would not approve of." She was furiously angry with him for having taken it upon himself to arrange for the coronation of Rama without asking her permission. "Go, tell my father, Rama is doomed to wear out years of misery in the dark woods. My Bharata rejoices in his royal power and glory. Or, your daughter Kaikeyi hastens straight from the anger chamber to the mansions of Yama, the god of death. If Rama is not banished from the kingdom, what care I for gold, gems, garlands, dresses, costly viands or perfumes? My life were an intolerable burden to me." So spoke she, the cruel-hearted. She flung away from her gay wraps and priceless gems and lay on the bare, cold earth, like some lovely bird shot through the heart. Dark anger, ever widening, clouded her fair face. Stripped of her gay attire, her necklets and diamonds, she lay a prey to unreasoning grief, even as the starry sky over which the shadow of night grows apace, darkening the world. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.